The gospel today is not easy for everybody to grasp because it just seems to be saying that we work hard, but we don't get the praise, as it were, or the reward. That's not what it's about at all. And the reason why it gets a little confusing for some people is because, depending which translation, the word servant is often translated as slave. So the imagery that is used in Jesus' time is that of slaves who served. And that's not language or an image that is part of our life, our lifestyle. It's not what we've been exposed to for most of us during the course of our life. So when we hear things about slavery and servanthood like that, it's kind of foreign. Now, in Jesus' time, there were two kinds of slaves. There were those who were born into slavery, those who became slaves as a result usually of wars, some hostile activity. They were captured and then they became the slaves of the victors. They then had children and those children were born into slavery. So that's one kind of slavery. And the other kind of slavery is those who have a debt to a master of some kind, and they can't, or they don't have the funds to pay off the debt, so they work as a servant come slave to the master. And then the master may say, I will cancel your debt in time, and then the slave can be free. The only way that the first kind of slave would be made free was really on the generosity of the master. So today Jesus is using the image of slavery because the slave was also a part of the household, believe it or not. They weren't cast off necessarily, they were part of the household, and so they weren't considered family, by that would be stretching it too much, but they were considered part of this one household under the one roof, as it were. So more often than not they would be cared for, but they would still be excluded from some things. Now, we're not used to slavery, though there is modern slavery, and you would be aware of that, particularly with women and children. You'd be aware of that. But it took the world 1,800 years, the modern world, 1,800 years to realise the evil of slavery and then to get rid of it. 1,800 years after Jesus. And then it took the church a tad longer than that to come to terms with it and say that it was an evil. It didn't happen straight away. So there are things in Jesus' time, there are customs that occur as part of Jesus' life and livelihood that we grow through, or we grow out of. In the maturing of the human race, especially with compassion and understanding, we learn that things like slavery are wrong at every level, was completely inappropriate in our times, but not so in Jesus' time. And there might be other things that you can think of, particularly now as we're zooming in on a plenary council, the first in 80 years in Australia. Are there things in our time that we have, or we should have, matured and grown through? I certainly think there are. And the church is, once again, but not behind the black ball, but it's always very slow to move into social reform. It does it very carefully, it seems to me. But that means it's done slowly, like the slavery issue. I would think at the moment that the role of women, particularly in decision making in the church and in the world, is a very significant issue, not relevant in Jesus' time. I would think that the life of those who have entered into marriages that have not worked for whatever reason and may have remarried, I would think that the experience of Jesus' community and Jesus' society is very different than what we are living in now. And the church has an opportunity to reassess very important issues to do with people and to do with relationships. And I think the plenary council, I'm a guy that's cups half full, I think the plenary council will offer us an opportunity of hope there where we can see how mature we are as a people and as a church. Now, the apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith. They wanted to become more mature. But when most of us in the Western world sitting here, when we think about our faith, we think of church and we think of religion, and that's part of it. But biblical faith is actually not about that sort of spooky God thing so much. When we translate the biblical meaning of what faith is, it actually means loyalty. Very interesting. Not hands together and lifted to the heavens with our eyes. It's loyalty. That's the kind of faith that Jesus refers to. If you had the loyalty, the size of a mustard seed, and we know that after he said these words, they reckoned they had loyalty, but they all betrayed him. They didn't. So faith is about a relationship. It's firstly the relationship with God, and from that we get our relationship with people. It's how we live out that relationship that is the quality of our faith. You don't talk about faith in terms of quantity. She's got lots of faith. He's got no faith. That's not how you talk about faith. Faith is you've either got it or you haven't got it. It's not about quantity. You either have it or you don't. It's kind of like being pregnant. You either are or you aren't. You're not half pregnant. I'm half faithful. And so once we understand that faith is about the relationship, our loyalty to God, we can then look at our life and say, how do I live out that relationship? How do I live out my faith? And that can only be assessed in terms of how I do that with other people. It is not a private badge that we wear. We don't own it. It's a gift from God. And it is by God's grace, which is love, it is by his grace that we are even able to commune with him and with each other. And that is the living out of our faith. So when Jesus refers to the servants and that today, the slaves, he's saying, don't expect the thanks because you're doing no more than you were asked to do. You are doing no more than you were created to do. And that's the difference, because that's the language of faithful people. You were created and we were created to be faithful, to have a relationship with God through each other. That's why we're created. And if we don't do that, we're living against God's creation and we are unfaithful. That's as simple as it is. That's what the gospel is really all about. It's challenging, I admit that. But there are two ways to strengthen our faith as I see it. And the first would be prayer. And I know some of you will roll your eyes and go, oh, prayer, well, here we go again. But you cannot have a relationship with God, as I see it, without prayer. And that's a two-way thing, and it's mostly listening and less talking. I'll take the hint. I'm about to finish. The second thing about how do you strengthen your faith, is you do it by belonging to a community. We don't do it on our own. We belong to a community. And isn't it interesting? We call that community, as in the biblical language, we call them the faithful. You are the faithful. The quality of your faith, well, you can assess that yourselves. Don't worry about the quantity. It's not relevant. What is relevant is the quality of how you live out your faith. Therefore, how you live out your relationship with God through each other. Never forget, you are the faithful.